sick and tired of watered down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws. The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage. I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving, discussing everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. We're taking your calls in North America at 888-327-0061 and internationally at 760-602-3049. In this hour, I'm honored to have Dr. Robert S. Stahl. He's the medical director and attending physician at four nursing homes and an adult daycare facility in the Buffalo area. He's a clinical associate professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo. And we're going to be talking to him in just a few minutes, so stay tuned.
We have a tropical depression gaining real strength as
the most powerful force on Earth, the hurricane. Responsible for millions of dollars of damage and loss of life every year. The hurricane, a force to be feared, yet we'll look it right in the eye. We are the men and women of the Air Force Reserve, and our world-renowned hurricane hunters go above and beyond, flying directly into nature's most destructive force. We do it to gather the data that makes the difference between safety and disaster. We do it for our communities. We do it for our country. And you can do it too with the Air Force Reserve, because the hurricane hunters are just one of the many exciting careers available with the Air Force Reserve. It may be a part-time job, but it's a full-time experience. Air Force Reserve, above and beyond. For information, call 1-800-257-1212.
Does your website maximize online sales? Is it fully interactive with your internet customers? Are you able to update your website? Are you at the whim of the webmaster that never calls back? Hello, this is Chris Murch, president of WS Radio. We're the largest internet talk radio station in the world, and like many businesses, we quickly outgrew our static website. The days of putting up some graphics and contact information are over. Database-driven interactive sites with full e-commerce capabilities represent the future of the internet. We search nationwide for a creative and responsive web developer, one who really listened to our challenges and found solutions that truly worked. Lynch Interactive has the experience required to take your company to the next level. Click on the link on the bottom of our WS Radio website for lynchinteractive.com. From e-commercing to web development and technology integration, Lynch Interactive is the right choice.
Are you sick and tired of watered down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
Hi, this is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage. I'm your host today for Coping with Caregiving, discussing everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. We're taking your calls in North America at 888-327-0061 and internationally at 760-602-3049. I want to tell you we're going to have with us now Dr. Robert Stahl. He's the medical director and attending physician at four nursing homes and an adult daycare facility in the Buffalo area. He's a clinical associate professor at the State University of New York at Buffalo School of Medicine, and he lectures extensively to healthcare professionals, patients, caregivers, and students on varied geriatric health topics, including drug abuse in the elderly, general principles of geriatric care, pain management and rehabilitation in the nursing home, communicating with the elderly, humor in medicine, and coping with chronic disease. Welcome, Dr. Stahl.
Hi, Jacqueline.
Hi. So tell me what do you think are the most important things we should be getting out to our listeners today about early diagnosis?
Well, I listened to the first hour, which was excellent, and I think a lot of information was conveyed there. Early diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease, I think education is the key to that. People learning what the signs and symptoms are of early Alzheimer's disease. Just as people have learned what the signs and symptoms of a cold are, of the flu might be, of other types of problems that they might cope with for themselves, their children. We need to learn more about chronic diseases and especially disease like Alzheimer's disease.
Yeah, in addition to the you know, the short-term memory loss that people always notice, they ask the same question over and over or repeat a story, or they get lost all of a sudden in the town they've lived in, or they're misplacing things, or they have a problem with the checkbooks. Some of the other ones, what other symptoms have you observed out there that you might be able to throw into the mix?
Well, I took the liberty of checking the Alzheimer's Association webpage. They have the 10 warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, which I believe are an excellent start. The memory loss, and predominantly short-term memory loss, that they might not remember where they went to dinner the previous day, what they ate the previous day.
Right.
And I think a key is to try to observe and look for change in the person. Let's say we're talking about a wife who's noticing some changes in their spouse, that they're not doing pleasure activities like they used to, that they're not quite as sharp as they used to be. It's the spouse that knows their husband best.
Right. And loss of initiative. You know, everybody needs to realize, you know, if you're an adult child and you drop by to see mom and dad, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon and, you know, they're in bed. What are you guys doing in bed? Oh, we're just, you know, you want to go shopping? No. You want to go out to lunch? No.
I don't feel like it.
Yeah, that's don't feel like it. There's a loss of initiative that I noticed in my parents, and a lot of when I'm lecturing, people will tell me that that's one of the symptoms that they noticed early on. And unfortunately, like we were talking earlier, that can be a sign of depression, and they need to be evaluated properly, because with the right antidepressant, that could go away, and it may not be any type of dementia at all. So that's a tricky one. Is it dementia, or is that just depression?
And yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't have to be either or. Both can be present.
That, yeah.
But detecting depression in someone who is developing or has progressed along with Alzheimer's is critical, because you can improve their quality of life. By treating what's treatable, you can bring them back to a stage where they're more functional.
And I've heard statistics as high as 80% of people that do have any type of dementia, Alzheimer's being one type, in addition to the dementia, they are also clinically depressed. Has that been your finding?
Absolutely. We have many of my patients that have Alzheimer's are also on antidepressants, and it does improve things. It may not improve memory function per se, but it can improve mood, irritability, and initiative, like you mentioned before.
Yeah, you know, I keep telling everybody, once that brain chemistry is properly balanced, that can make a huge difference in the behavioral stuff. And with my dad, you know, he had the aggression problem, and he'd always had a raging temper. So that was nothing new to me. I just thought it was more of that. But I didn't understand that it was now over things that were illogical and irrational at times.
So also people become, they don't have the controls on what personality types they may have had before. You know, your dad was tended to have a temper, but he was able to control it, I'm sure, under important circumstances.
Right.
And you lose that sense of control.
What the doctor told us was his impulse control was becoming damaged. And so where he'd always had a flash fire temper, now it was like really flash fire. You know what I mean?
I
just sobbed. I just thought he was just being just horrible. I didn't understand. I didn't get that. I didn't know. So this is really important for people to understand. You know, it's called the Morso theory of aging. Doctor, have you ever heard this very technical term, the Morso? Dr. Morso, I think, wrote it. Whoever you were as a young person, you're going to be more so that way when you get older.
Oh, okay. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, Dr. Morso, I made that up.
But I'll add that to my book.
Yeah.
You know, one example, and I like to use humor in my practice, and, you know, certainly I choose the appropriate time when humor can be used, and it's certainly not meant to embarrass or insult a patient, but it can often relieve tension. And, you know, in looking for a change, there's a little joke that an older couple went out for dinner, and they, you know, enjoyed it tremendously, and the next day they were telling friends, and the husband said, we went to a great restaurant the night before, and the friend said, well, what was it? And he said, well, you know, I can't quite remember, but name a flower. And they named Lily, they named Daisy, and they said Rose. And he said, yeah, Rose, that's it. Hey, Rose, what restaurant did we go to last night?
That's
so
cute.
You know, that's something that brings up the issue of change, where someone you know, may have had a beautiful memory, photographic memory, would be in charge and take care of the checkbook, and all of a sudden those things are starting to fade away. That could be an early sign that something is going on, like an Alzheimer's disease.
And you know, everybody gets nervous because when I do my lectures, I always say, now we always misplace our keys, and then we find them. You know, or we, you know, we walk into a room to try to, we're going to go in there to get something. We go in there and go, oh my gosh, what did I walk in here for?
Or you look in your hand, and there they are.
And you go, oh my gosh, senior moment. You know, it's happening to me. And then you go back to your office. You go, oh yeah, I remember what I went in there for. I always tell everybody, that's okay. And the whole room always, oh, thank gosh. That's okay. If you really had short-term memory loss in part of a disease process, isn't this true? You wouldn't remember what you went in there for. It wouldn't come back.
That's correct. And one of the first chapters in a book called The 36-Hour Day, which mm-hmm. is also an excellent book,
yes.
And I'd recommend it certainly along with your book,
Elder Rage.
I had to put that in or else I'd get
in
trouble. But the very beginning describes a scenario of an Alzheimer's person from their own point of view and how they're feeling and how it feels like to have memories slipping away.
Yes.
And if you can just put yourself in a position where you cannot remember anything that happened 5 minutes ago, 30 minutes ago, the day before, and imagine what life would be like in that circumstance. Oh. And that's what's going on with an Alzheimer's patient.
How awful. Yeah, that's why I always tell people, you know, to focus on the past memories that they can remember, and so they don't get so upset about things that they can't.
That's right. And just yesterday, I saw a patient in my office, and I do have a small outpatient practice as well as my nursing home practice. And what I emphasized and what we discussed is that the person is repetitive and makes multiple calls, 12 calls a day, the daughter was mentioning to me.
Oh.
And I saw both the daughter and the patient at the same time. And I always have the caregiver there. And it's almost like I'm doing a family treatment, that I'm treating each one equally because the education of the caregiver is essential to the well-being of the Alzheimer's patient. And these multiple phone calls, she was responding, she was describing, she responded by saying, don't you remember you called me 10 minutes ago? I told you that. And she was very well read, but I had to remind her again.
Yes.
That we're dealing with someone who does not remember that they called you 10 minutes ago.
Right. And then they raise their voices if the hearing is bad.
That's right.
Like maybe they'll remember better if I yell.
That's right. And that's where the elder rage comes in.
Yes. You know, yeah. And what I tell people is, you know, have them write it down or take a picture. You know what one gal told me in a support group? She said her husband would ask the same questions, and they made up a book and they laminated it with the answers to the, you know, 25 top questions that he would ask.
Well, you know what? I suggested that.
Oh, did
having
you?
Having a pad by the phone.
Yeah.
For the Alzheimer's patient to write down when they call, because this person was able to do that.
Right.
But the daughter said that they tried that.
Didn't work.
And the problem was he would write something down, and he couldn't figure out what the meaning was of what he wrote.
Yes.
Well, so, you know, that could be very effective, and it should be tried. But sometimes even a simple thing like that doesn't work.
You try everything. Yeah, with the booklet, this gal said, you know, she'd be making dinner and her husband would ask her the same question. She'd say, you know, honey, I think that's on page 10 of your book. And he'd get the book and he'd go through, and that would take a good 10, 15 minutes to find that answer, you know.
Right.
So it was a way of delaying and getting him occupied with something that he could do to find the answer. She just approached it very calmly, like, honey, I think that's on page 12.
Well, that's great.
Isn't that a good idea?
A beautiful way to handle it, and the calmness is essential.
Very calm. And unless you understand the disease, unless you get to people who are around this support group, other people coping with this, and you understand the disease, you just don't know how to cope with it in the beginning. And that's why I'm so concerned about elder abuse. The statistics, it's just, I guess, reaching pretty bad proportions because so many adult children are coping with their elders and crossing that line with elder abuse. But with education, I think we can bring that figure way down.
Well, you bring up elder abuse, and it's important for people to understand that elder abuse does not necessarily mean an active act. For example, hitting someone or, the most egregious types of things are not feeding them or burning them with cigarettes. You hear these horror stories. But elder abuse can be simply neglect.
That's right.
Or even asking them these questions over and over and over again, which they just can't understand.
Yes.
But with a little knowledge, you can really diffuse the whole situation, and it puts the patient at ease, and it puts you at ease.
Yes, you know, I'm so glad to know that you're involved with adult daycare. That's one of my biggest missions, is funding for adult daycares. I'm headed to Congress to testify about the need for funding for daycares with NADSA, the National Adult Day Services Association. It made the biggest difference in my parents' lives and in my life because it gave us the respite once we got them there. And it was a nightmare getting my dad to go. He hated it, not going, threw his food on the floor, screaming and yelling. You know, 4 hours later, they said, Jacqueline, we can't work with your father. Your mother's lovely. We'd love to have her anytime, but your dad can't be here. And, you know, we could have done it so much better had we made it a gradual transition, had we had one of the administrators call and develop a friendship over the phone with him, or call and invite him down to the center and say, oh, you know, Jake, we've got some things down here that need fixing. Could you come down and help us with these? You know, we're having a St. Patty's Day party, and we hear your wife Mariel's got a little Irish blood in her. Could you bring her, and if she could bring her cinnamon roll recipe, which we hear is incredible, we'll make them for the party if you could come down and give us a hand. Well, you know, he would have been honored to go down there instead of being told he was.
Absolutely, but that takes time, and
you know,
time requires money.
But had I been instructed by these professionals how I could have made it so much easier. So this is what I say, you know, we've got to educate not only the families but the professionals on how they can make the adult children and spouses' lives manageable to get that loved one to get to the daycare, because then, oh, it's a godsend for everybody. Tell us about the daycares that you've been involved in.
Well, there are actually different, two main types of daycares. There's a social daycare, which is pretty much...
oh, my gosh, where's the time gone? Oh, we just get so involved in these. We're going to come back. We're
going to
take a little break. And
we'll
be right back.
Okay, we'll pick up the daycare.
Yeah, hold on, Dr. Stahl. This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage. I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving, discussing everything you ever wanted to know about elder care but were afraid to ask. We're taking your calls in North America on 888-327-0061 and internationally at 760-602-3049 on WSRadio.WS.
Help us lead the way. Tell a friend. We are WS Radio. WSRadio.WS. The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
Quant9 Software has specialized in the development of investment software for computerized investors since 1985. The first version of their popular software was a DOS version, and Quant9 has focused on growing right along with technological advances, always on the cutting edge. The program is now known as NAIC Portfolio Record Keeper. Designed by professional money managers, this software provides investors with extensive investment tracking tools. From investment record keeping and educational tools to tax decision making and preparation, Quant9's NAIC Portfolio Record Keeper provides portfolio management solutions for all investors at www.quantixsoftware.com. That's www.quantixsoftware.com.